especially seeing that we have so many young people here. It should adopt itself for that. So just be patient with me. There may be some hesitations that you don't normally hear from me, but as I think in my mind, and as I was younger, the hesitations were shorter, but as I get older, they get longer. So it's just one of those things. If you've got your Bibles this morning, everybody, 1 Peter chapter 4, and that question that if you have your Bibles is always very rhetorical in assembly such as this. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'd like to start off our discussion, this will be pretty much a discussion, on verses 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11. Let's start there. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Now let me back that with Romans chapter 12. Turn to Romans 12, if you will. Verses 3 through verse 8. Pages turning. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have many gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. I'm going to start off with a question for you to just kind of think about. Is the value I provide to the body something that I should consider? Something I can consider. This congregation here is a working congregation. It's a good congregation. I'm really sincere and honest, and I've really been impressed with the way that everybody just picks up an oar and everybody is oaring, and that's just great. And that question itself could be looked at as somewhat rhetorical. But I'd like to think that even those of us that are doing what we feel we can do for the Lord, there's probably room for growth and room for improvement. And in a body this big, there are probably those who could do that may not necessarily be doing for a lot of reasons. And so I ask the question, do we ever sit down or should I ever sit down and just consider the value that I provide to the body? One of the things that I think we underestimate, put it that way, is just in our attendance. Just let me start there. Okay, we can never underestimate how important it is for us just to be there. Mm-hmm. Just to be there. And it goes beyond the David and Jonathan relationship, okay? Remember when David was at the odds with Saul? And that's not hard to remember. That's kind of all the time, right? They were sideways one another. And the festival was going to be there, and David was not going to be there. And Jonathan said, you're going to be missed. Not because of what you do, not because you're going to bring the food, not because you're going to sing the songs, not because you may even be playing your lyre, your instrument, and there's not going to be anybody to play that, but you're going to be missed because people are going to look around and your seat's going to be empty. Do you ever think about that when we're not here, we're missed because our seat's empty? And that's foundationally where we start with bringing things to the body. I can never understand why people will not come to worship and say, ah, nobody's going to miss me. I don't bring anything. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I asked Jeff and Libby when Annie and I came, and you know, it's always interesting for me because when we come, we try to sit up front. And usually the first 6 or 7 or 8 seats in a congregation this large are reserved. Okay, they're typically reserved. And so I asked him, I said, is it okay for us to sit here? Because the mantra truly is, I mean, we're welcoming people at the, come in, sit wherever you want. But in the back of my mind, it's got, as long as it's not my seat, right? Yeah, it's just one of the, but that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Because you've got a place where you sit, and when certain people come in and they look around, they look for you in that seat. And when you're not in that seat, you're missed. So the question is, do you realize that that's the value that you bring to the body? That's foundational. And some people use the term, that's the most you, the least you can do or the most you can do. It's just foundational. That's where it all starts. Now, there may be other things that we can provide. What about this next question? You know, in both the verses that we read, Paul talked about gifts that we have from God. And contextually, I'll use a Joe Works. I'll argue the point, and I won't argue it long, okay, that those gifts contextually are, and many times talking about the spiritual gifts that the apostles had and that they confer to those members that are there. But I'd like to suggest in our latter reading where the apostle Paul talks about teaching and admonishing and giving, everybody may not be able to do it the same way. But those are things that everyone can do. There are certain people that just have the ability to just greet. You just look forward to that handshake and that hug and everything else. There are other people that are just quiet. And they shake their hand, and but that's just the way they are. And I think that when you come together as a body this big, there are people that you look forward to seeing. You look forward to worshiping with. You look forward to singing with. You look forward to fellowshipping with. Would it be odd to think that there are people who look at you in that same manner? And that may be one of the gifts. Would you argue that Barnabas had a gift? He had a gift. And he was known for that gift. And he used that gift. I wouldn't question that there are Barnabases here this morning. There are Barnabases here. And we need to recognize the fact that we are Barnabases, that you have that ability. And so it begs the other question, how am I using the talent that I recognize that God gave me? How am I using it? What am I doing with it? I'd like to suggest that you guys aren't too early to figure out what you're good at serving the Lord. It's really not. It's not too early in your life. And the sooner that you do that and begin to use that for the Lord, it not only blesses those people that are around you, but it blesses you as well. Because it gives you something to know. Yep. One of the things that I'm big on is metrics. And one of my engineering backgrounds and working a project, I had one supervisor tell me that if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist. Okay, now I don't believe that that's right, okay? But measurements are important. You can't clarify things. You can't deal with things. You can't go. You got to be able to sometimes measure it, right? And those metrics that we think about as being a Christian, how do I know that I'm being a good Christian? Anybody ever think about that? How do I know that I'm doing what God would have me to do? How am I know that I'm using the skills and the talents that God has given me for his honor and his glory? How many times have we heard a singer who has become a great pop singer or blues singer or a jazz singer or a country singer or whatever say, you know, you ask, where'd you start off? I started off singing in the church. You know, that's where I started off. I recognized there that God gave me the gift to sing. Well, they were right. God gave them that gift to sing. Well, how do they use it? Where are they now using that gift that God gave them? So recognize the gifts that we have and then ask ourselves the question, how am I using that gift. The Apostle Paul tells us how we ought to seek to use that gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'm not going to go and read a lot of that, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 5, and then we're going to verse 12. Again, textually, this is contextual. This is talking, right, definitely about spiritual gifts, the manifestation of spiritual gifts. And there were those in the church in Corinth who became proud and puffed up and had a lot of pride over the spiritual gift that they had. And arguably, the most sought-after gift was the gift of tongues. Okay, and everybody wanted to speak in the gift of tongues. And Paul never talked this, that was a wrong thing to want, okay? But it was the reason that they wanted it and the reason that they used it that Paul shot at. And so in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 14, he says, "Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive the edifying." He's not saying that the prophesying guys are greater than the tongue-speaking guys, or the tongue-speaking guys are greater than the prophesying guys in general. But he's basically saying that those who prophesy, if there's a person who's speaking in tongues that doesn't have an interpreter, and there's a person there who is prophesying, and he's prophesying implied in the language that everybody can hear, the prophecy is better than the speaking in tongues. Because no matter what the tongue speaker says, they can't hear it, and they can't hear it and understand it. It's not meaningful for them. And that's why in verse 12 he says, "So also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church." Whatever you want, whatever you'd like to have, want to have it, prophecy, tongues, whatever it is, so that the church will grow. So the church will be edified for the good of the church. If that's the gift you want, then that's why you want that gift. And so I ask the question again. How do we know? What's the metric? Do we know that we're using our gifts and we want them and we're doing what God would have us to do? If we're using them for the good of the body and the edification of the church and the building up of the body, that's why God gives us those gifts. That's why he gives us those abilities. And I've seen so much in this past 2 days of people using the gifts that God is giving them for the edification of the body, for the growth of the church. When people come through that door, people smile. People are happy. Yeah. And this is more than just using your car, taking people home, and helping people cut the yard and those types of things. It has a spiritual value. We're talking about spiritual value, right? And so then that would probably beg this question. Are there things that can compromise my awareness and the use of my talents? Are there things that are out there that if I'm not careful, they'll compromise my awareness of the things that I can do and my actual use of those things that I can do? I'll give you an easy one to look at. Did God give Samson a gift? Did Samson have a gift? I mean, that too would be a rhetorical question. That's something we can say. Samson definitely had a gift. Was there something in Samson's life that compromised him using that gift the way God would have him to use that gift? Right? That too is very, 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 very obvious. I mean, you can use that as an example. God would never give people gifts to be misused, number one. And then he would never ask anybody to do something that they weren't prepared to do, that he hasn't prepared them to do. Anybody remember that story, that parable of the talents in Matthew 25? I mean, there's a significant thing there, right? In Matthew chapter 25, in verse 23, 24, in there. No, even as far as verse 14, okay? Look at Matthew 25, 14. Let me just go there and get this point. Matthew 25, 14. For it's just like a man, he's talking about the kingdom, about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And note this next line. Each according to his own ability. And he went on his way. God knows what each of us can do. He knows what each of us can bear. He knows what each of us can handle. Right? One of my favorite verses is 1 Corinthians 10:13. We all know what that is. There is no temptation that is uncommon to man, but God is faithful. He's not going to allow us to be tempted beyond that we can bear. And that's a whole lesson. That's probably a series within itself. If you start looking at the words temptation and what it means and bearing it and all of that, right? But the sense of that is that God knows us and he knows what we can take. He knows what we can bear. And he's not going to put us in a position that in his own mind that failure is inevitable. There's nothing we can do but fail. He's not going to put us in that position. And likewise, I believe Jesus is saying here that with the talents God gives us, he's not going to give us anything that we can't use. He's going to give us things based on our ability. And I think that's why in verse 25, the master was so wrought with that one talent man, because he said, I was afraid and I went away and I hid my talent in the ground and see you have what was yours. His master knew that he didn't give him any more responsibility than what he could handle, because he knew him. And so that's all he should have done. One of the things that can compromise our awareness and the use of our talent may be that we just don't think we have one. And we just don't think we can do anything. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll compare ourselves to other people and think, you know, just let other people do it. Everybody's doing a great job. I had some teachers there at Washington. They understand they have the talent to teach. And they teach and they teach and they teach and they teach untiringly. But they'd love a break. They'd love for somebody to step up and say, you know, I think I can teach. I've been studying. You've been studying with me. I've been sitting in the classroom with you. That's something I think I have the ability to do, and I think that God's going to help me to do it if I truly try, and I want to give you a break this quarter. They'd really love to do that. But sometimes they sit, and because the class is taken, that's okay. Somebody will step up, and somebody will do that. And so they sit on that ability. Sometimes we might feel we can't do things as well as somebody else. I was impressed, and I tried. I think I got to all the young men who led songs. I said, you guys did just a fantastic job. Fantastic job singing yesterday, and I'll say that again. Even though there were some in here who gave you the wrong starting note of that, you still did a fantastic job. You recovered well, and things were good.
Sorry.
It was unintentional. Okay. It works well. And that's just great. And each of you have your own styles in singing. You sing your own way. They say, everybody, we all have our own style in singing. We sing, and nobody sings exactly the same way. But the singing was great. The singing was fantastic. And there's no way for us to sit down and say, because I can't sing like this guy, and I can't sing like this person, I'm not going to lead in singing. You just can't do that. And so sometimes if we compare the gifts that we think we have from God to those of someone else, we might be a little bit hesitant and we might be a little bit reticent to do something. But it shouldn't be that way. And then that might beg this thought. Again, I've talked about this. What ought to be my objective? An objective for doing what you do for the Lord is for, first of all, pleasing him. And all we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, do all those things that he can get his glory. But God gives us the skills, I'll use that term, that we have for the gratification of the church, for the building up of the body, for the encouraging of one another. And I'd like to say that that's reciprocal. Because when we are encouraging one another, we are being encouraged. We are being encouraged. When we're using our skills and our talents as you are, that's why the church is like it is. Everybody's encouraging one another. Everybody's doing things, and it's just encouraging one another. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And so the last question then would be, how or from where do I get my gratification? And this is an interesting one. Because this is a struggle that we have to have from time to time. Where do we get our gratification from as far as using our talents for the Lord? One of the things that I've seen just yesterday with these young men is that they were almost embarrassed for me to tell them that they did a good job. Almost embarrassed for me to tell them that. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't need to hear it. That didn't mean that it wasn't beneficial for them to hear it. But I was glad I said it when I embarrassed them. And I exhort the rest of the congregation here that whenever they sing, embarrass them. Keep embarrassing them. Because that works. That works. That's the gratification. They're not doing it to get that, but it always feels good when you get that. Because Lord knows there are enough people who will tell you the other side. You'll know the other side. And that's where Christians come sometimes. And just living the Christian life, and we'll deal with that later on. So when I'm using when you guys are singing, when you're teaching, when you're opening the building, when you're keeping the audio-visual stuff going, Clint, somebody will pat him on the back sometime and tell him, you're doing a good job. And it just works. Because that's what we all need. Because they're not going to ask for gratification. They're not going to ask for thanks. But they get it, number one, from serving the Lord, and they also get it, we get it, from knowing that we're edifying the body and growing the body. And how do we know that we're edifying and growing the body? Because the body shows us. It shows us. It tells us. And so the whole crux of this discussion this morning, this talk this morning, is that we all have gifts. You all have gifts. You are using them for the Lord. Continue to use them for the Lord. And always look at ourselves and say, what more has the Lord blessed us with? At five talents, a man went out and got five talents, or five more talents, and he had 10. And he didn't walk away with 10. He walked away with 11. Okay. Because God took that one talent, man, talent, and gave it to him. And that's one thing we need to understand. When we serve the Lord, serving the Lord many times is rewarded with an ability to serve even more. That's how God does it. When we show that we can do, he knows that we could do it in the first place, and he enables us and he gives us windows and opportunities to do more. And we should always have our eyes open for those opportunities that God has given us to do more, because we know that he has supplied us with the skills and the desires and abilities that we need to accomplish those tasks. Okay? Everybody okay? Sure? That's usually the way I end my talks. Is everybody okay? All right. God bless you and thank you for this opportunity.